hearts to his word. Would you pray with me, please? God, here we are again, gathered together in your name. Lord, thank you for this time to worship you. Thank you for this time to lift our voices and to bless your name. And Lord, when we bless you, we are so blessed because you are such a loving and caring God. And so I pray that now that we're here, now that we have our Bibles open, and now that we're looking to your word, we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would reveal your Son, Jesus Christ, to us in this closing chapter of Romans. Lord, as we look at all these different saints that have impacted the life of the Apostle Paul, God, I pray that it would challenge all of us to be people of God that are not ashamed of the gospel, that are not ashamed of our Savior Jesus Christ, or that we believe in God, or that we believe in the Bible. We believe every page from Genesis to Revelation. This is your truth. And God, we want to stand on your truth. We want to proclaim your truth, and we want to live your truth. So I thank you for each and every person here and those watching online. We pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts and then prepare us to remember what Jesus, our Savior, did upon the cross, shedding his blood for us, because that's what it's all about. So bless this time, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as we look at this list, first I want to say there's going to be a bunch of names that I'm going to brutalize. I'm sure there's many people in here that can say them better than me. In fact, the first time I taught this area of text, I didn't know that's how you spelled Phoebe. So I called her Phoebe for much of the Bible study, to my wife's chagrin. So if I do say Phoebe, it's just by habit. Phoebe, you don't spell Phoebe with an O, okay? Just, anyways, sorry. I digress. This morning I want to talk about, because it is just a list of people, and here's the thing about the Word of God. We sometimes see lists in the Bible of people, and we kind of just read them and move on. Not so. So important. If God's going to take the time to put it on the apostles' heart to write down these people's names, we should take note of them. And we won't look at every single one, but just to see that the apostle Paul says at the end here, greet these people, just speaks to the power of the family of God and the gratitude we should have for each other. And the love that we should have for each other. I mean, I, as a pastor, I love seeing the church. I love seeing people. I love Sunday mornings because I get to see your faces. And I know we don't get a lot of time to interact. But still, it's that wonderful experience to come together and truly, hopefully, from this point, be able to live life together. I know many of you have relationships with each other that are dear. And having good relationships and good friendships are wonderful. But let me say this, having good godly relationships are so much better. To know that your friends believe in the Lord. You know, Pastor RJ and I, we talk quite often over the years of serving in the ministry. It's like everybody we know are believers. You know, all of our friends are from church or people that we know that are believers. And it's such a blessing. I can remember when my wife and I first got saved. We were the first ones in kind of our circle to really get saved. There was one couple that led us to the Lord and invited us to that service, that Easter service. But one by one, all of our friends got saved. To the point where we were always around believers. And I'm telling you, that it helps in life, doesn't it? When you've got other brothers and sisters in your life that'll hold you accountable, that will encourage you in your walk. Even this morning, talking to a dear brother, and we're just focusing on the return of the Lord, that God's coming back for us. So exciting. Praise God is right. Because we can kind of sometimes forget that, oh, life's hard and it's overwhelming, so many responsibilities and so many burdens. God's coming back, guys. He's coming back for us. And none of the things that are going on in this world are going to matter when we get there. Right? Hallelujah. Amen. I can't wait to have a list of unpaid bills because I'm in heaven. But truly, anything and everything except for our relationships stay here on earth. and go away. So we really look at a chapter like this with a list of names and we go, the Apostle Paul had people in his life that he loved, that loved him and made his life fruitful and made his life filled with the joy of the Lord, right? And so that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at three things, a woman, a couple, and a team of believers. So read with me as we try to say the word Phoebe in verse 1. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Centrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. So Paul's right there. The first person the Apostle Paul speaks of in this closing chapter is a woman. Is a woman. And I think that's very important. It reminds me that the first people to come to the tomb were women. And to see the value of women in ministry. I know there's a lot of talk in the church about women in leadership in the church. Biblically, women should not be pastors. Women should not be the head or leaders in church. But that doesn't mean you have no value in ministry. We all have to understand our place. Just like a bunch of guys yesterday at a men's conference learned our place as men, as godly men, as husbands, as fathers, to take our place and to really be used in that place that God has us. But for Phoebe, Paul brings high recommendation to her. Now, Phoebe is believed to actually have carried this letter to Rome. And so Paul is writing this commend, he commends her, or he refers her, or presents her, or recommends her to the church, because in those days there were a lot of people that would take advantage of the generosity of Christians, not unlike the world we live in today. So Paul writes this commendation for Phoebe. Accept her. Notice what he says. I commend you to Phoebe, our sister. Sister. So what Paul is saying is she's a part of the family of God. And isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? The family of God. When we talk about church, it's not a space. It's not a place. It's people, isn't it? That's the church. And so she is a sister. She is a part of the family of God. And that's how they are to receive her, as a family member, as a sister. And to understand that she has the same Father in heaven that we do as believers and has the same inheritance in eternal life. Do we look at each other with that perspective? Do we look at one another as brothers, as sisters, as part of the family, as the one that you're just as blessed as I'm blessed because God has given us an inheritance? Again, I'm asking us to, as I've said, my title's not there. So, having a good name. Having a good name. So here is a woman, Phoebe, who Paul highly recommends to the church in Rome. How important it is to know that there's a family of believers around us that are going to encourage us in the Lord. See, this person, Phoebe, doesn't have wisdom. They think she's very wealthy, has means that she can travel back and forth to Rome from Corinth. So she has abilities. But notice he also says, sister who is a servant of the church in Centrea. Centrea is a bay area of Corinth. She was a servant in the church. What do we call servants in the church? We call them deacons. People that do the work of the ministry. In a lot of senses, people believe that Phoebe is a deaconess in the church. Someone who serves, someone who labors. And it's so important in the church, the structure, the place, that there are people to help. And I don't say that because we need people to help. We always need people to help. But we need is people that are moved by God to help. When people come to me and say, where can I serve in the church? I'm like, you need to ask Jesus. Where's your place? Having a good name in the world, in the church, is someone who's willing to serve. And it's so wonderful to see. We are a family. We are to work together. And that means getting to know each other, guys. Please. If this is your church, become a part of this church by having relationships with each other. Spend time together. I love hearing when people in the church go to lunch together after service, or when I hear they're getting together during the week, because that's what encourages us as a family, to be involved in each other's lives together. It's so important. We must take care of our family. And that's what Paul was saying about this girl, Phoebe. She was a sister, and she was a servant. Servant. Do you have a servant's heart? That only comes from God. You know, when I first became a believer, I mean, we wanted to help. We wanted to serve. I think my wife and I, for several years, were in the ministry, and then we decided, hey, we want to get involved in couples ministry. So we served in that way, because eventually you just want to be able to help. And when the pastor stood at the pulpit and said, hey, we have some needs in the couples ministry, man, we thought, hey, that'd be a fun thing. Let's see what that's all about. I always thought leadership was perfect people. When I went to that first meeting, I realized there's a lot of imperfect people. I fit in perfectly. So don't feel like you have to be qualified to do something. You need to have a perfect life to serve God. I find serving God in his house and serving his people help us to be better. It helps us to truly want to give back to the Lord because he's done so much for us. Listen, I understand people come in the church, they want to receive something. You want to leave here being encouraged and receive something from the Lord, and you should. But when do you get to the point where you say, I want to do something for God? Because when I see someone serving the Lord and joyful doing it, man, there's nothing greater. There's nothing greater. Yesterday, we had our very first wedding here at the church. It was so exciting. It was so beautiful. They did it outside in the back. You know, they did tables around the pool. And Pastor RJ, well, you guys got a servant in that assistant pastor this morning, walking around that pool, putting the fence back up so your kids wouldn't go swimming today. But I'm telling you, it was so cool watching people, after the end of it, pitch in to put this place back together for Sunday morning. And that's, you shouldn't have to ask people to help. They should just help. They should see a need. And if you see a need, meet that need. Don't be that person that says, why isn't anybody doing this in the church? Why isn't anybody meeting my need in this way? When anybody comes to me and say, how come you don't have this ministry? I often say, because God hasn't told you to do it yet, right? So if you have a great idea, you're going to be the first person to sign up for the ministry. So be careful what you ask me. But Phoebe had a heart to serve. And she, notice it says she was a servant of the church, one who serves in the church for the family of God. That's having a good name. That Paul could commend her to the believers in Rome and say, she's got a servant's heart. And notice what he says, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of saints and assist her in whatever business she has of you. For indeed, she has been a helper of many and of myself also. She's one that meets needs, but she also has needs. That's the beautiful thing. If we're all doing our part, all of our needs are going to get met. If we're really working together. And he noticed, I just love this at the end, where he says, she has been a helper of many and of myself also. That word helper, does it remind anybody of anything else in the Bible? The Holy Spirit, as Jesus was leaving earth, he said, I must go. And if I don't go, and when I do go, I will send a helper, right? John 14, 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. And look at this. And he may abide with you forever, is the Spirit of truth, or the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit has been given to you. The helper is there with us. And I just love, if we are quote-unquote deacons or deaconesses in the church, we're being helpers to God's body in the same way the Holy Spirit is there to help us. If you're going through a tough time in your life right now, your greatest resource is the helper of the Holy Spirit. Yes, it's great to have people to pray with you. Yes, it's great to have people to encourage you. But you have the Holy Spirit with you that can speak to your specific situation and, listen, knows things better than any human being does. And God says, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit to help you on your journey called life. What a beautiful picture. And even in Genesis chapter 2, God says when he created Adam, it's not good that you're alone, Adam. I'm going to create a helper for you. So wives are also in the same context as the Holy Spirit as a helper to their husbands. I don't think we think about that. We don't realize that God knit you guys together specifically. That's one of my greatest joys in premarital counseling, is encouraging a young couple that you're to work together. Too many marriages are fighting at each other. It's like a competition. I'm like, you guys got to get on the same sideline. You got to get on the same team and work together. Because being at odds with each other is a miserable, miserable marriage. Phoebe was a servant. Ooh, I said it right. Phoebe was a servant. She was a sister in the Lord, and she was willing to help. That's someone who has a good name, wouldn't you think? Look at the second one. This is our couple. It says in verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. And pause right there, mid-verse. We have Priscilla and Aquila, this couple that really were such a blessing to the Apostle Paul. We see it in the book of Acts, and they show up a few times. And they truly are servants of God. This couple is mentioned with Paul, also with Apollos. As Apollos was sharing the word, Aquila and Priscilla take him off to the side and teaches him more specifically, or the word says more accurately, the things of God. These people had a heart for the Lord. And I cannot tell you how important it is for couples to work together, even in ministry, but certainly in our homes, that we're aligned together. Because notice he says they were workers. He says, Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. I think if more couples would focus in on the work that God has for you to do as a couple, you won't be as critical on each other. Because your focus is going to be more on God than on self or your spouse. What a beautiful picture this is of a couple having a name. When you heard the name Priscilla and Aquila, you knew immediately, wow, they were faithful. Paul loved these guys. And they were serving the Lord. And notice it says they were workers in Christ Jesus. Our work should be the work of the Lord. See, some people work in the military. Some people work in medicine. Some people work in offices. And these days, some people work remotely in their homes, don't we? But do you think in your mind that your true employer is God himself? Because as Christians, we work for the Lord. We serve God. Priscilla and Aquila were tent makers, right? The Apostle Paul worked together with them. So they had a physical thing that they did, but they always had their mindset to, I'm working for the Lord. Do you have that kind of mentality that whatever you do it as unto the Lord? It's so disheartening sometimes when I see people serve in ministry less than they would serve their work or serve their employer or serve their own bank account. You should work hard, but I believe we should work for the Lord even harder. I believe we should give God our best and give the world our leftovers instead of giving the world our best and giving God our leftovers. It's convicting, isn't it? It is. But it's a reminder to us that, God, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do at work, but I'm really doing it to you. Because when we do it to him, it changes our attitude. It changes our commitment because it's unto the Lord. And God sees everything, right? Your employer doesn't see the things you do. I can remember when I worked, before I was a believer, Those were back in the days when you literally had to write down how many hours you worked in a day. Let's be honest. If someone's going to have me write down how many hours I spent on something, I'm probably going to exaggerate a bit. Right? And it's like, but as unto the Lord, he sees everything. He knows. He knows our gifts. He knows our talents. He knows our weaknesses. Do we have that mentality? Because we are Christians. We are supposed to be known as servants of God and workers for him. It also says, Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risk their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. So these people were living so much as unto the Lord that they were willing to die. And I know that can sound extreme, but do we not serve a God who died for us? I mean, I just officiated a wedding here yesterday, and I always remind the husbands, you're to love your wife as Christ loved the church. And it says, and gave his life for it. Sacrificial leadership, sacrificial giving is something that we're to be known for, people. And yes, God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to enjoy your gifts, your hobbies, your talents. There's nothing wrong with those things. But are we willing to set those things aside for the things that God wants in our lives? And that can be a hard pill to swallow. Lord, I have to sacrifice fishing, hunting, golfing, computers, whatever it is. For you, that's dying to self. And sometimes God calls us to that. And these people, we don't know what they did. We don't know how they risked their lives. But they certainly were willing to die for the Apostle Paul. And the church gave thanks for them because they saw that heart in them. And I wish it came naturally, right? But it isn't. It's something we have to work at. Lord, help me to always be available for you because your schedule is more important than mine. Isn't that the mindset we should have? Truly. Truly. Not only are they faithful, not only are they willing to risk their lives, it says in verse 5, likewise, greet the church that's in their house. In these days, people met not in churches. There were no church buildings other than the temple. They were meeting in their houses. And this couple had a church in their house. They were mindful of the most important service they can do, and that's to share the gospel, to lead people to Christ. That has to be on the forefront of our minds as believers, that maybe God will use us to help someone else come to know the Lord. Just this morning, one of the couples told me that one of their young kids said to them yesterday, we need to invite my friend over to church tomorrow. And I love what the parents said. Yeah, you need to go do that. Because it teaches them to be mindful of that. So even at a young age, this young man knows the importance of what it means to have a relationship with God, and he wants his friend to have that relationship too. May we have that heart. Instead of looking at the unbelieving world and saying, stay away. No, invite them. Invite your heathen neighbors to come to church to hear the gospel so they'll be your best friends next door now. What a transformation. It'll be amazing. Love our enemies. That's what God tells us to do. They had a ministry in their church. They were risk takers. They were workers. Just like Phoebe had a good name, Aquila and Priscilla had a good name in the community. Just yesterday when we were again at the wedding, and when I said some people came to help, there were another couple from our church were at that wedding, and I just saw them step up to serve so quickly and so selfishly in high heels. I'm like, would you stop? I'm sure your feet are hurting. She's like, no, I want to do this. And it's like a willing heart. No one has to ask people to serve. They just should serve in that way. We have to be ready to serve the Lord, ready to give anything that he wants from us. So we see a woman, a couple, and now we look at a whole bunch of names I'm going to brutalize, starting in the middle of verse 5. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. And Stachys, my beloved. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Yeah, I know you're laughing. Greet Herodian, my countrymen. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord. Greet the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Greet Asyncritus and Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus. Is that Hermes? I don't know. And the brethren, some of you probably see it that way, and the brethren who are with them. Greet Philologus and Julia, Nerus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. I wish he had just said that. Greet all the saints with everybody. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. So when we read this list, and I would encourage you guys to read it over and over. It's amazing. The more you read it, the more things come out from it. Everywhere within this list are great encouragements to the people that he's probably listing. And to think about these people that have made an impact in the Apostle Paul's life, these people that he have witnessed serving the Lord faithfully, doing things in ministry, having a heritage in the Lord. Constantly you say, you see in Christ Jesus, or serving the Lord, or serving much in the Lord. All of these things, it's for the glory of God. You don't see anything in there that says, what a wonderful businessman they were, what a wonderful skill they had. It was always accredited to their relationship to God. And I just think that's a beautiful thing. That constantly, my fellow workers, my fellow prisoners, these people impacted the Apostle Paul. And when I talk about having a good name, as Paul was writing or telling someone to write these names down, I'm sure his heart was overjoyed with the thought of these people that served alongside him. And do we think in that context any longer today? When we think about our good friends, when we introduce them, this is my good friend. Do we ever think, this is my beloved, this is my friend in the Lord, this is my friend who serves God faithfully? Again, it's just an exercise in helping us think more about God and to help us truly understand and appreciate the relationships that we have with each other. I'm so blessed to be able to look around this room, and when I see faces, I see history. I see things that we've done together in the Lord. I've seen faithful servants in the Lord. It's just a beautiful thing and a beautiful picture. And Paul is just pouring out his heart in these things. A few things I want to just point out. Like in verse 10 and 11, you've really got to spend time with us to even consider it. And Spurgeon was good at picking things out like this. Verse 10 says, greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. He doesn't say greet Aristobulus, or in verse 11, Narcissus. He doesn't say greet them. He says greet the believers in their house. And some believe that that's because this person that he named is not really a believer, but everybody in their family is. And again, I can't say that dogmatically, but if that's true, why wouldn't he say, greet Narcissus and all the believers that are in his family? But he says, greet those in their family. And the reason I bring this up is because every single one of us probably has someone in our life that's not a believer yet. But to think about, where are these people now? Did they make it to heaven? Did they end up giving their lives to Christ? And if there are unbelieving people in our families, we have to be very careful to show them who Jesus really is. Is your Jesus a list of do's and don'ts? Or is your Jesus a loving God that shows you grace and mercy every single day? And if he does, we should show our unbelieving families and loved ones that same grace and that same mercy. We need to show them Christ. My prayer is that these men came to know the Lord, but we don't know. But we pray for those who don't know the Lord. And there are people in our church that have unbelieving spouses or other believing friends, and we're praying for them that one day their hearts would be given over to the Lord. As we think about spending time with communion and remembering what Jesus did on the cross for us, let's also remember he did that for others. He did that for everyone. He did that for our enemies. He did that for those who don't believe yet. Just to have that kind of mindset in our hearts. He says in verse 16, greet one another with a holy kiss. And in this culture, that was the greeting. Greet each other with a holy kiss. Make sure it doesn't go beyond that. Don't distort it like the world wants to distort. But to greet each other with a holy kiss. And the reason I believe that is because Jesus himself says, you gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. Speaking to a man who invited him to his home for a meal. And Jesus said, you gave me no kiss. You did not greet me properly. And I think sometimes we need to make sure, and I'm as guilty of it as any of us. We're so busy. Again, I went to that men's conference and I had to leave early so that I could come to the wedding. And just as I'm walking out, a gentleman that used to come to our church many years, Pastor Rob, do you remember me? And I was like, no, not really, but good to see. I mean, I recognize him, but I didn't have the time to stop him. How are you doing? What's going on in your life? I felt pulled because I had to come. Sorry, I was late. I was talking to somebody at the conference. I mean, you don't want that at your wedding, do you? And it's like, but I drove away from that going, what is that man thinking right now? Because I didn't have the time. And we really need to pay attention that we have time to properly greet each other. I say this all the time. You know, I say to people, how are you? But we really don't. Do we really even wait for the answer before we move on? To really know each other, to really understand what's going on, to ask God to help us in our relationships with each other. Here's a list of a bunch of people that the Apostle Paul says, these people are such a blessing in my life. Are you a blessing in someone's life? As I look around this room, there's many of you in this room, if not all of you, that are blessings in my life. You're blessings in my life because you are a part of my family. We're the family of God. And there is something about the family of God that transcends even human relationships, doesn't it? There is so much that God wants to do in us and through us. It just excites me when I read something like this. I'm like, Lord, I want Calvary Chapel to be known as the beloved, as the faithful workers. And even some of them says, you know, I think it's in, where is it? Yeah, in verse 6, it says, greet Mary, who labored much with us. I think it's down, yeah, in verse 12, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord, and then greet the beloved persons who labored much in the Lord. So Paul even knows people that have, there's some that serve the Lord, and there's some that serve much in the Lord. Where's your place? Where's your place? We've been talking about this in the last chapters of Romans. Where's your place in the body of God? And be a blessing. Be one who serves the Lord. And only you and only God can tell you how much you are to serve. Don't let anybody tell you that you need to serve more unless it's God. No human being can tell you to serve more. I'm going to tell you to serve less, honestly. You know, because your responsibility is to your family. I know people's marriages were strained because one of the spouses served too much in the church. I don't want that for you. I don't want you to stand before God and say, well, Pastor Rob made me serve all the time. I can never be with my wife. No. But you're missing out on a blessing if you're not serving somewhere. And here's the thing. You can be serving this church by praying for it. You can be serving this church by praying for the leadership in this church. Taking us before the Lord and asking God to move. That's laboring much in the Lord, I believe. Because that, to me, is really where the battle is. If the enemy can keep us from praying, he can keep God from moving heaven and earth for us if we stop praying. God help us if we stop praying. Paul said, what you've begun in the spirit, are you going to try and make perfect in the flesh? That verse always haunts me. Because like, Lord, I want to stay in the spirit. And that means staying in prayer. These men and women that Paul counts here are written in the word of God for all eternity. And here's the thing. God knows you by name. And he has a plan and a purpose for your life. And he wants your name to honor him. We don't want to stand before God with a great name for ourselves. We want to stand before God with a great name that honored him in everything he did for us. Amen? So in this time of communion, I'm going to ask the guys to get the communion elements, and they're going to start handing them out, that maybe this is the time where we pray, Lord, how is my name in the community, in my church? How am I doing? How am I representing you rightly, Lord? And this is a time to say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me, taking away my sins. But Lord, also speak to my heart. Speak to my heart. So let's close in prayer, and then the guys will hand out the elements. Father God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the word of God. God, we praise you and thank you for every person, every name that is written in this 16 verses of chapter 16. Because these names impact our lives. These names and their character challenge us, Lord, to have a godly character, to live godly, to serve you, and to serve one another. Lord, all these things in this world are going to fade away and go away when you take us home. So help us to serve you faithfully, with the right heart, and give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. I ask blessings upon each and every person here. Lord, as they're coming to you in prayer, if they're asking you to heal some area of their life, God, I pray right now that you would heal them. God, if you need to encourage them in some way, encourage them. If they need to realize that you've gifted them for your glory, God, let them hear your voice say, use your gift for me. Help us not to just stand on the sidelines. Help us get into the game. Be blessed by serving you and loving on people. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for dying for us. We thank you for going to the cross, taking our sin, taking our faults upon yourself, every sin we've ever committed and every sin we will yet commit. You said it was finished. Your sacrifice was satisfying to God. And because of that, we have right relationship with the Lord. Help us where we fall short. Help us to trust. Help us not to doubt. Help us to believe. But Lord, as we in our mind's eye look at you seated at the right hand of God in victory, we know the price has been paid. And we are so grateful. May not one person in this room feel unworthy of the sacrifice you made for them. But may they accept that sacrifice. May they accept you as their Lord and Savior. As we hold these elements in our hands, God, we pray that if there's anyone that doesn't understand what they're holding, that maybe they have to give their life to Christ first. I pray that they would pray that prayer and say, Lord, I give my life to you. And then they'll be able to take of the elements that represent your body and your blood and give you thanks. We love you, Lord. So we ask you to bless this closing time. Move, we pray, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.